law and gospel, the Reformation solas, the theology of the cross, the means of grace, simultaneously saint and sinner. These are some of the topics covered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. It's written by regular guest Dr. Al Schmidt. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Really one of the most famous betrayals in human history. Not talking about Benedict Arnold or some other turncoat. We're talking here about a man who the church now honors and reveres as, well, chief among the disciples of Jesus, at least in terms of those 12 disciples that were first chosen. Some Christians regard him as the foundation of the church. Peter, who is a betrayer. He's a turncoat. He doesn't actually hand Jesus over, as does Judas, but at least in his heart, he is willing to disown him. I do not know the man. He swears not just once, not just twice, but three times, and all of it predicted by Jesus. Peter swears he will never do it, and he turns around within the hour and does. We're going to be talking about Peter denying Jesus in Mark chapter 14, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
So Jesus predicts this. Jesus is not surprised that Peter denies him. We'll get into the story in just a minute. So that means as we look at this story and its aftermath, is the main point Peter's denial or how Jesus will eventually respond?
A lot of people think that this could be a got you from the part of Jesus, but it really is not. Jesus has one purpose in doing whatever he's going to be doing, and that is to bring comfort to us. Now, how does that occur in Peter's case? What Jesus is really saying to Peter is that he is not going to have the strength to do what Jesus alone can do. And when Jesus alone can do the cross, the suffering, Peter is going to fail in doing that. But it's really not going to matter from God's point of view, because Peter will remember that failure. He'll remember the words of Jesus, and later on he will have great joy in knowing that Jesus knew he would fail, but that didn't mean that Jesus would fail him. The fact of the matter is, we deny Jesus each and every day, but he will not deny us in the sense of as we repent of our sin, and Peter certainly did repent of his sins, guess what? He is going to be made right with God.
So set the context for this denial and Jesus' prediction and then this denial of Jesus on Peter's part.
Well, you've got the Passover meal with Jesus, and what we're dealing with here is Jesus warning his disciples that they will fall away. And of course, Peter says, no, I will never fall away from you. And it is on the way to Gethsemane where when Jesus is being arrested, it does appear as though they are going to be strong in the faith, the disciples, and therefore defeat the guards who had come. But Jesus tells them not to do that, to put up their sword, and then guess what? Every one of them runs away from Jesus.
So Peter's not alone in his, these guys are denying him too, aren't they, by running away?
All of the disciples denied him. In fact, if you were to recall the crucifixion that takes place later, only one of them and that's John, is even at the crucifixion. The rest are cowering in an upper room, afraid of what's going to be happening to them.
So pick up the story where you left off there.
So they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when they went to sing a hymn, it says, out to the Mount of Olives, that is a well-known set of hymns that are taken right out of the Psalms, Psalm 113 through 118. The Garden of Gethsemane was a walled garden east of Jerusalem, and that's where they had gone. And, of course, Jesus, he asked them to rest with him. He says, you will all fall away, for I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Here he's quoting the Old Testament. Peter said to him in verse 29, even though they all fall away, I will not. And then Peter tells them, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And Peter says, hey, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all of them said the same. And so then they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's where Jesus separates himself from most of the disciples, taking only Peter, James, and John with him. And then he has a prayer to the Father, which is really very, very important.
So that brings us to the place where Jesus is betrayed by Judas, and he's arrested and taken to his series of trials. How does that fit in with Peter's denial?
Well, what happens is Peter, of course, follows Jesus, wondering what is going to be happening to him. And then there are three occasions when people confront Peter. Now, the Concordia material, Growing in Christ, made a point I had never thought about before. They say he's not challenged by guards, religious leaders, or other authorities. He's challenged by servants and bystanders, laborers like himself, who probably would care little about Peter's affiliation and would do nothing about it. And I found that quite insightful. One would have thought that if it was a leader in the religious community or a guard asking him, then he would lose his courage. But he lost his courage even when he's being challenged by people who probably couldn't do much about it. And his courage and faith completely fails him. And what happens then is something occurs that's only in the Gospel of John, I believe, where Jesus turns to him and looks at him, and Peter breaks down in weeping.
So you mentioned this before. Peter remembers the prediction that Jesus had just made hours before, and as you just said, it says sometimes it says he went out and wept a bit early, or he broke down and wept. What does that tell you? What is Mark trying to tell us about Peter's state of mind there?
It's a distinction between really law and gospel. And in fact, it fits right in with what you were speaking of in the hour before me with Dr. Schmidt about the distinction between the theology of glory and the theology of the cross. The theology of glory, or the theologian of glory, is someone who thinks so highly of himself that he really thinks more about himself than he really ought to. In contrast to the theologian of the cross, who recognizes that suffering is actually the way that Christianity works. In fact, I did a sermon recently, and I said, what if you went to a grocery store and there was a sign there, we guarantee that less than 20% of our food will make you sick? And I said, who would ever buy anything there? Nobody would, even with that guarantee. But that's kind of what the church guarantees, as it says that 20% of what is going to happen to you is you're going to be persecuted, and you're going to fail many times and suffer. Who would ever want to join a church like that? And that attitude on the part of Peter is therefore someone who's thinking more glorious about himself than he is about God.
With about a minute before we take our break here, Tom, had Peter simply fessed up to being one of Jesus' disciples, said, yes, I know him, that's why I'm here at the high priest's courtyard, that kind of stuff. You said earlier, very, very unlikely anything would have happened to him. And it seems that as though his denial, in a lot of ways, is, at least in a human sense, kind of needless, not really even necessary for him to have made. What are your thoughts?
He goes so far in verse 71, for example, that he invokes a curse on himself and to swear. And we don't know what the curse is, but a lot of times people will say, cross my heart and hope to die if what I'm telling you is not true. Now, he wouldn't have said that because the cross hadn't occurred yet. But it would have been something like that where he says, I do not know this man of whom you speak. Then the rooster crowed the second time, verse 72, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And it's at that point that he broke down and wept.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Peter's denial of Jesus in Mark chapter 14. Tom is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. When we come back, more on Peter's denial of Jesus in Mark 14 with Pastor Tom Baker.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor. And today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, talking about Peter's denial of Jesus. So I'm just kind of putting myself in Peter's shoes for a little bit, and I imagine this is an extreme test of faith. In fact, Jesus, I think, says at one point to Peter in another gospel, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you, and when you have turned, strengthen your brothers. And I think he's referring to this particular trial that Peter kind of makes for himself. he's got to eventually lean upon what Jesus is doing for him at the cross in order to find any way back to reconciliation with his Savior, doesn't he?
Yes, because in contrast to Judas, who went out and committed suicide, and it says very clearly in the Greek, his repentance is a different Greek word than that of Peter. Judas's repentance is the kind of repentance the world often has, namely, boy, I'm really sorry I did that because the consequences didn't work out too good for me. In other words, it's kind of like going to prison and talking to prisoners and say, are you kind of sad now that you tried to rob the bank? And they say, well, yeah, I'm in prison. And if you ask them, well, if you hadn't got caught, would it be okay? Oh, yeah, then I would be fine. But because of the consequences, in contrast to that kind of repentance on the part of Judas, Peter's repentance, the proper Greek word for repentance, means he had sorrow over what he had done to Jesus. He had slapped Jesus in the face. He was no better than the ones who were crucifying him. He was no better than the ones who gave false testimony at the trial. He was no better than those who put the nails in his wrists and his feet. Because Peter, as he recognized, is a poor, miserable sinner, deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. But thanks be to God, and I'm sure he says that throughout his epistles, that what happened is though we sin against God, though we deny Jesus, guess what? He does not deny us. And as the Holy Spirit moves us to repentance, Jesus forgives us, and it's as though, from God's point of view, we had never denied him. And that's what the comfort is here that we can share with many of the members in the congregation. Jesus says very clearly that even when you speak against the Son of Man, you will be forgiven. Now, he also says those who deny him, he will also deny. That's in Luke 9:26. But if you look at the context, those are the people who deny him until their death. It's called the sin against the Holy Spirit or blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, a refusal to repent of one's sins. But the message that we find here is no denial on our part, no betrayal on our part, no failure to please God on our part will ever condemn us. As Romans 8 says so clearly, there is now no condemnation in us who are in Christ because of the forgiveness of sins, because of the robe of righteousness. And so Christians have a comfort that is not found in any other religion in the world. Every other religion in the world, if you ask a person, are you righteous enough to be saved? 9 times out of 10, they'll say no, because they think of righteousness as obedience. But Christianity is totally different. One becomes righteous not through obedience, but through trusting a promise from God. Remember, Abraham, Sarah's going to have a baby, 65 years old. Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Peter, later on, of course, after the resurrection, Jesus asked him 3 times, do you love me? And I'm sure that was a reminder of the 3 times that Peter denied Jesus. And Jesus restores him to apostleship and indicates to him to be his witness. That's the God we call the Holy Trinity, who is not just toward us in the sense of giving us what we deserve, but is merciful in not giving us what we deserve and gracious in giving us what we don't deserve, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and countless blessings.
I imagine that Peter, throughout the course of his apostolic career after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, is tempted again, probably hard-pressed and tempted, to deny Jesus again. But we have no evidence that he ever did. In fact, that he went to a martyr's death. That really does testify to the power of forgiveness that Jesus gives him.
Actually, Todd, there is one occasion when he did. Remember, the Jews came from Jerusalem, and Peter refused to eat with the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Apostle Paul says that he was actually attacking the cross of Christ because he was not recognizing there's now no distinction between Jew or Gentile. And I tell you, I find that very comforting, that Peter, an apostle, even after the Holy Spirit has entered him, after Pentecost, after he's given this apostleship, guess what? He also sins. And that's recognized by God. It takes another apostle to criticize him, but he's again restored, and we don't hear anything more of Peter refusing to eat with Gentiles and Jews because of fear of the Jews from Jerusalem.
With only a minute here, Tom, the message for the Sunday school children.
The message is, we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We often think, I can get to heaven. I go to Sunday school. I pray to Jesus. Yeah, I'm ready for heaven. And we need the Peter experience where something happens in our life where we have lost control. And that's God's way of, once more, the theology of the cross coming to us, moving us to suffer so we do only what Peter did, and that is to weep bitterly and turn to Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, which the Sunday school children can be absolutely assured they will receive because of their baptism.
Pastor Tom Baker is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farms, Missouri, and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to spend some time with Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry talking about Mormon dietary restrictions. We know about the coffee and alcohol and tobacco, and it's kind of been expanded, ignored, adhered to variously over the history of Mormonism, beginning with Joseph Smith. Can it last into the future? There's a big story in the Salt Lake City Tribune about that very question, Mormon dietary restrictions. Then Rebecca Curtis will join us. We'll talk about men and women's sports. They are really, in a lot of ways, two very different things, although the sexual revolution wants you to believe that they're the same thing. Scott Klusendorf will join us to end the program to talk about a recent New Yorker story titled Why It's Become So Hard to Get an Abortion. Stay tuned for Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. call 618-539-5664.